It is vital for us as believers to understand our identity in Christ. Now, we're using this theme over and over, but I trust that the concept will not become old to you, that Christ is in us and we are in Him, and that makes all the difference about who we are. And wrong thinking can destroy your life. Even if you're saved and have known truth, if you do not understand who you are in Christ, you will miss out on great blessings. And one of the great truths about our identity with Christ is that we are in the body of Christ. And so this morning I want us to look at one body in Christ. I've mentioned before about the difference between a laser and a spotlight. A medium power laser can burn through steel in a matter of seconds, but the most powerful spotlight you can find will at the most slightly warm steel. And both can have the same electrical power requirements. The difference is the unity of the molecules. In the laser, after certain ways it works, and it's rather technical, the photons march in step with each other. And in this unity, that's what gives a laser its power. A spotlight has just as many photons, but they all go their own independent way, interfering with each other, and much of the power is wasted and not able to do the type of work that the laser does. And so the key to the laser and its power and its effectiveness to cut through is the unity of that laser. And so we need to understand that when the body of Christ has people who understand their identity in Christ and who are functioning with spiritual unity, it can be a tremendous thing to see, like a laser, that church cut through the steel of satanic opposition. But so often, especially as we see in our culture, churches are much more like a spotlight. A member had been previously beginning to grow in a church and attending quite a bit, but suddenly stopped coming to church. So the pastor was concerned about it after some weeks, so he decided to visit the absent member. Well, it was a chilly evening, and the pastor found his way to the home and found the man at home sitting there alone before a blazing fire. Well, guessing the reason for the pastor's visit, the man welcomed him in, led him to a big chair by the fireplace, and waited for what he was going to say. Well, the pastor made himself comfortable and said nothing. And in grave silence, contemplated the play of the flames there in the fireplace. After some minutes, he took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet fascination. But then, its fire in the ember changed. As the lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, but then it was no more, and the ember was cold and dead. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greetings. But then, after they watched that ember die, the pastor got up, thanked the host for allowing him to be there, and the host said this: "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for your fiery sermon. I shall be at church next Sunday." It is a very good picture. Folks, we need one another. It's not the church as an organization. It is the church as the body of Christ. And each member uniquely gifted, as we saw last week from Ephesians 4, meeting the needs of one another. As pastor, I have a leadership gift, but I need you as much as we all need one another. It is absolutely vital for there to be growth and forward movement in the Christian life for us to be in a deep fellowship with one another in the body of Christ. Not only gaining the fire from someone else, but God's plan is for us to give it to one another. So it's not doing church. It's not attending church. It is being a genuine member of the body understanding our identity as being in Christ, that we together make up the body of Christ, and God wants us to be formed by His Spirit into a laser-like force to see great things happen in these days. Thank God we can be a spotlight, and we are to be a lighthouse, but we need to have that kind of power. And we find a passage that really helps us with that, which is complementary to last week's message from Ephesians 4. Romans chapter 12, please, here this morning. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at another passage that speaks of the gifting of believers. Our identity in Christ is seen through the indwelling Spirit of God as He uniquely gifts us, as His presence is within us to form the body of Christ as it ought to be, so that we know Him and that we are brought into the fullness of everything that God wants us to be. We have the great initial verses in chapter 12 that transition from the doctrinal chapters of our salvation and sanctification and about being a living sacrifice. And then we begin in verse 3 of chapter 12. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, every believer that's part of that assembly, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Here we see the attitude that makes all the difference for a church to be the laser-like force that God wants it to be. First of all, it's vital that we have a humility of mind. We need to understand who we are. The big problem that every one of us face is self-awareness and the need for self-advancement, fulfillment, and a sense of belonging. And very easily within a church situation, if we inject our humanness into it, we can have different aspects of self that can cause the church not to have the unity of focus that it ought to be. We need to understand, as this passage tells us, that any effectiveness that we have, any natural abilities or talents that we have, all of that is from God. Everything we are and have is from God, but especially the spiritual gifting that is going to strengthen, edify, and build up the church to be able to fulfill its mission, that is a miraculous work of Christ through the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. So back to verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And so there must be a rejection of any pride when it comes to the body of Christ. There are no sociological levels in a church. We all come by way of the cross. We are here equal before Him. We all are equally indwelt. We are equally gifted. And if we can understand the matter of being a servant of the Lord and the privilege of allowing God to work and get ourselves out of the way, there is no limit to what God can do. The humble man, Andrew Murray says, feels no jealousy or envy. He can praise God when others are preferred and blessed before him. He can bear to hear others praised while he is forgotten because he has received the Spirit of Christ, who pleased not himself and who sought not his own honor. You know you're getting to know Christ when you're not worried about what people think about you. You know you're getting the heart of Christ when serving becomes more important than being known. It is not the natural way the flesh responds. And we really can rationalize. And we have to really look at our motives and understand that anything that is good, that is going to benefit the body of Christ and the work of the Lord, is going to come from God Himself. We must not take the credit. I love what Hudson Taylor, the man that opened up China in an unbelievable way to every province, saw miracles happen. He was trying to explain his success, and he said this: I think God was looking for a little man, little enough so that he could show himself strong through him. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. And that's exactly why God used Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was as surprised as anybody else that God used him so mightily. But you see, everybody knew it was God. There was no way to explain what happened in the China Inland Mission except for God. You see, our abilities and talents, yes, God's allowed us to have them, and they ought to be used. But my friends, spiritual gifts are a lot of times not in our area of human strength, but in the areas of our human weakness, so that we know and everybody else knows that's God. That's an amazing thing. I had the privilege for all these years of being a pastor, and I've known many, many people. And when I see people spirit-filled and used of God and having a critical part in the work of God, I'm always amazed at how what they're doing is just not explainable except for God. I know what they're like. I've seen people who have the gift of mercy who naturally were not merciful. I've seen people with unbelievable the gift of giving who would not naturally be the givers. I've seen people who had the ability to teach who had no training in teaching and who were scared to death to get in front of people. You see, that's how God works. That's why every one of us has hope, folks. It's not based upon our greatness. It's all based upon His greatness. And God does the work. So therefore, we've got to remember what James 4:6 says, but He giveth more grace. It's all because of God's grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud. And boy, that's a terrible place to be resisted. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. King Uzziah was a great king. He loved the Lord, and God had done mighty things through him. I think he had great talents of leadership and organizational ability, but his ability to have discernment and lead were all from God. But he began to take credit for it, and his heart was lifted up. And he decided to go in and worship God by putting incense on the altar himself, that which was only to be allowed by the Levitical priesthood in proper order. And they withstood him. And when he got angry that he did not get his way as king, God smote him with leprosy and his ministry was over. My friends, we need to realize that it isn't our great abilities and even our past blessings that mark who we are. It's who we are because of Christ. And we've got to understand that anything that's going to happen now or in the future is going to be by the grace of God, and not because we are something special. And so this is a very strong passage that we're not to think highly of ourselves. Father, where shall I work today? And my love flowed warm and free. Then he pointed a tiny spot and said, tend that for me. I answered quickly, oh no, not that. Why, no one would ever see. No matter how well my work was done, not that little place for me. And the word he spoke, it was not stern. He answered me tenderly, ah, little one, search that heart of thine. Art thou working for them or me? Nazareth was a little place, and so was Galilee. You see, God lifts us up. Are you willing to do what God asks you to do? Or do you have to be somebody? It's all to be accomplished through faith. If you look back at verse 3, the last part of the verse, God's given everyone grace, Every one of us are gifted, but that grace will not function, last part, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God, now I want you to get this. If you're willing to surrender and to believe that God can use you supernaturally and are willing to put the body of Christ and the ministry of Jesus above everything else, God will give you the fruit of the Spirit, faith, to be able to believe that the gifting that he's given you will work and that he will use it and that it will be supernatural and that God will continue to use you even when it seems so impossible. He not only gives us the grace, he gives us the grace to believe so that we can have grace. Grace comes because we believe. We were saved by faith. We were saved by grace through faith. And so we have here the fact that we can count on the fact that God will do miracles in our lives if we will believe the Lord. And so it's amazing what faith will open up as far as possibilities in our lives. J.S. Baxter said, "What God chooses, he cleanses. And what God cleanses, he molds. What God molds, he fills. What God fills, he uses." God will prepare us for what he has. Now, I want you to think right now. How do you view? You know, pride can be one of two ways. It can be, I can do it, or it can be a selfish perspective that I can't, so I don't want to try, so I don't get embarrassed. Either of those things are self-centered. You see, God has chosen you, created you, formed you, made you, your personality, your background, everything about you. He has made you so that you can be uniquely used in the body of Christ, if you're a part of this church, in this unique body. And he will, by his power, do what you cannot do if you will not depend upon yourself, but on the other side, if you will believe that he can do it. So Satan gets us both ways. He gets us to think we have the ability to do it, or he gets us to think there's no way we can. And so nothing gets done. Think of the power potential of a group of people like this. I mean, the angels look down from heaven and think, whoa, that's enough people right there to do amazing things. Does Christ have all power? Did he do amazing things when he was here? Christ is everywhere. And he gives each one of us the ability to meet the needs of one another supernaturally so that we can be unified in a laser-like force to see God work. So we really have to watch that self-perspective. Secondly, there has to be a commitment of heart, a commitment to the needs of others. Folks, in our world, we live lonely lives. We do what we ought to do. We got demands of modern work. Many of you folks have just huge demands, and so we're focused in our little world, and we look at the things that we would like to do and how to have our needs met. But God's plan is within the body for us to be truly focused on others. That's where real joy and fulfillment come. Verse 4, please. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one in Christ, and every one members one of another." Folks, just like when a marriage occurs, two become one. And the picture of a church is Christ and the church. We become one with Christ, therefore one together. And God has different strengths that we all need to see functioning. I mentioned last week, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, for the God gives the leadership gifts for the perfecting, the completing, the finishing out of the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry, so that they can build up the body of Christ. We've had folks here that have been beekeepers, and bees are a fascinating study in God's complexity, and I think there are some aspects that can really help us as a church. One bee is always ready to feed another bee. And their mutual feeding among bees is going on all the time. The workers feed the helpless queen who cannot feed herself. They feed the drones during their period of usefulness. They feed the young, and they seem to enjoy all that. They cluster together when it's cold and fan their wings to cool the hive in the hot weather. When swarming time comes, scouts go out to find suitable quarters. They come back and they show that they have found, and somehow the group of bees determine where the next colony is going to be, and then you have a big swarm go in unity over and they start the new hive. Pretty amazing thing. Where did that come from? The mind of God. And God gives these natural illustrations through different created beings. And my friends, our heart desire, if we're where we ought to be, is not to meet our needs, but to meet the needs of one another so that we, as the body of Christ, can show forth his power and meet the needs of those that need the gospel. And so it's very important that we understand that each one of us in our unique spiritual creation is needed. John Murray, and I want you to listen closely to this quote, says, as a great commentator said of Christians, they have property in one another. Let me say that again. They have property in one another, and therefore in one another's gifts and graces. In other words, what you have, God has given so I can get a need met. It would be correct to add that you as a Christian have a right to the gifts the other members of the body have been given, and they have a right to your gift. Now, please note this next statement. You cheat them if you do not use it, and you are poorer if you do not depend on them. Picture of the dying ember. You see, it's not just hearing the preaching, though that's important, but it is the constant assembling of ourselves together, so much the more as we see the day approaching, we find there in Hebrews chapter 13. Why is that so important? Because people here need you. If you're absent and you're about your own schedule and you are not really letting God work through you, the Spirit of God is not able to meet the need in someone else, and you're cheating them of what God wants to do in their life. Plus, if you are not functioning with the body, you are very much missing what the other gifts supernaturally should be doing for you. I can look at a number of key times in my spiritual development and look to folks within this church in particular, previous churches of course, where the functioning of that person in my life made a difference that's marked my ministry ever since. I needed that Spirit-filled person. And my friends, we've got to get a hold of that. We are not some kind of organization. That's the American mentality. We are an organism. We are the body of Christ. And we need to understand, when I'm not functioning, somebody else is robbed. And when I'm not a part of the body, I'm getting robbed. And a lot of our discouragements and a lot of our lacks and a lot of the emptiness is because we are not following God's plan. My friends, God's plan for this age is the local church. It's his idea. In fact, he says, I am the head of the body. And when we reject the direction of God in this age to be part of the local church as we ought to be, we are actually saying no to Jesus. And my friend, no matter how much you say you follow the Lord, you are missing out on his main plan. And friends, I'm not saying that because I'm a pastor. I'm saying that because that's what the Bible says. And so it's very, very important that we get a hold of it. And so we need a commitment then to the unity of the body so that it can function. That's what we have. We have one body. There are many members, but we have one body. There are many, verse 5, but one body. Every one members of one another. Let me just read the first few verses of Ephesians 4 that I did not read last week. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And then you have the great discourse on gifts. And so we have to understand that. God worked through Israel during the time of the previous dispensation. Now God works through the local church. And you are a very vital part of the local church. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I remember some years ago, Dr. Jim began to realize that one of the key problems that evangelists had was that they were never part of a local church. And that they missed the dynamic of how God worked through them and to them in the local church. And he began to be very concerned. He began to see some of the weaknesses in the whole field of evangelism that came because of that. And so he made the decision and conviction that he was going to throw his heart, soul, life, and family into the local church that happened almost 20 years ago. Now let me ask you, have we not been the richer for it? Has his gifting not greatly affected this church? And if he was here and gave testimony, he could give you specific examples of how the gifts within this church have altered his ministry. And frankly, these last years, he has had more impact than we talk about. Just tremendous impact across this country. And he will say a lot of it is because of his involvement with the local church. And there is something about it when we understand, we humbly know we need one another, and we also need, we know we need to be servants one to another. Our agendas go out the window. We begin to get a hold of what God wants in this age, and that this is the way God works, and we join together in unity. I've given this illustration a number of times, but I think it is so good. A man asked his young son to break a bundle of sticks. He returned a little later to find the lad frustrated in the task. He had raised the bundle high and smashed it on his knee, but he only bruised up his knee. He had set the bundle against a wall and stomped hard with his foot, but the bundle barely bent. The father took the bundle from the child, untied it, then he began to break the sticks easily, one at a time, and broke all the sticks. My friends, a spiritually bonded oneness Satan cannot break, because it's God himself. But when we're individually operating, people can be broken. My friends, again, I want you to realize, I'm giving you the heartbeat of what Paul would talk about, Peter would talk about, John would talk about. They would tell you with amazement God's unbelievable plan of the local church. And to not be involved supernaturally and spiritually as God has ordained means that you're missing out on his divine plan for this age, and your gifts are not functioning, and you're not getting the gifts of other people, and you're missing out on that cause. How important it is. And so we need to give ourselves to further what God, it's all about loving him. Again, I remind you, he is the head of the church. And so therefore, the third point is simply function. With the grace of God, with the power of God. That's what it says. Get with it, is what he's saying. Because of the great salvation we have, chapters 1 through 4 and 5, the great sanctification, the fact that we are identified in his death, burial, and resurrection, that sin no longer can have victory over us. Because of all that God has planned for this age, if we will sacrifice ourselves, as verse 1 says, as a living sacrifice, then he will gift us if we will lose ourselves in the cause that he has, and then we need to understand that we need to function by that. Gifts are given by grace. May I remind you what we talked about last week? Everyone is gifted if they're saved. And so we have that very clearly stated throughout this passage, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Each one of us are given gifts. Remember Ephesians 4:7? But unto every one of us, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Everyone is gifted. Friends, can you imagine if on Christmas Day, when the gifts for children were handed out, the children took them and said thank you and laid them aside and no attempt to open the gifts? Not even to find out what they were? Parents would be a little bit taken aback, wouldn't they? That's pretty unnatural. Well, imagine how the Lord must feel when he died on the cross and rose again, and that's what we have in Ephesians 4. The enormous suffering, the plan from the ages so that his beautiful bride, the church, could function and reach the world. Imagine how he feels when he gives you a gift, a privilege to be part of his body and to be supernaturally identified with him and to be able to deeply be used of God in the lives of one another, and you don't even open the gift. You don't allow yourself to be perfected. You don't allow the truth to sink into your heart. You're not part of being completed so that you can edify the body of Christ, so that you can minister. Here he is on the throne, and he has done everything for us to have the fullness of life. And he has all of this for us. We never take the trouble to do it. We just attend. We don't function. And then we say, well, we didn't think we could do anything. Well, we never opened the gift. I'm telling you, folks, I dare you to open your gift. I dare you to take off the wrapping of his love. I dare you to surrender to God and say, Lord, show me how you want to use me. My friends, your life will take on a paradigm you've never had if you've not experienced the supernatural work and grace of God flowing through you. There is nothing like a life being touched because God touched it through you, that person through you. Oh, I'm telling you, what a privilege. What a privilege to serve the Lord. Each day I have the privilege of touching lives, and I can see God worked in their heart. I mean, I'm telling you, my wife said, how'd it go today? And it may not have been the easiest day, but I'll say, it was great. I got to function. I mean, it's a miracle. It's not me. It's a miracle, and God wants that for every one of us. How sad it is. Folks, who did you miss last week that God meant for you to edify? 3 weeks ago, who was in deep trouble and you weren't there because you weren't living for God? Caught up in your life. You know, we look at Christians, well, what's their problem? And the Lord's saying, oh, you're just the one that was ready to, I was ready to use to meet that problem, but you weren't there. I'm telling you, thank God for the people who work hard on a Friday night, nor are you. That's hard work. A lot of people here would say, I thank God for the gifting I received there, right? What about people that pour themselves into discipleship, leading a Sunday school class, just meeting your needs, person that writes that note, person that does something for you right at a time you wouldn't have expected, and God just gives that cool drink of water from heaven to you. Aren't you thankful for that? Folks, that's real Christianity. That's the real deal. And we need the filling of the Spirit of God. And we can talk about some of the greatest power on earth, like looking at a great waterfall like Niagara Falls or seeing great atomic energy at work. But my friend, the power of the Holy Spirit is amazing in your life. You know, the reason we get so down so often is we try to do a few things ourselves. It's like trying to cut down a tree by pushing it over. You know, you got a 3-foot diameter on the tree, you look pretty silly, wouldn't you? But then somebody hands you a power saw, turns it on, and zoink. Of course, you better be in the right spot when that tree falls. But the point is, you got great power. You have exactly what certain people need. It's Jesus. We need each other. I need you. You need me. We need one another. And so that's what he's saying. Let me just read it here. Having then gifts differing, verse 6, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy. In other words, if you're a preacher, one that proclaims the truth, then get with the program. There are some young men here in this building that have been called to preach that aren't heading that way. This verse is for you. If you're called to prophesy, to preach the truth, then get with preaching. Your life will never be fulfilled until you do what God created you to do. according to the proportion of faith. You need to be walking by faith. Or ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. If you're to be serving others, there are some that just have the gift of serving and really know how to use that to get open to the hearts of people. Then he said, serve! Would you thank God for people that just sacrificially serve and they have such a joy? It's just such an unbelievable blessing. And what an opportunity they have to edify and encourage other people. You go right on down. Or he that teacheth. Get on teaching. By the way, every one of us should teach the word of God. Disciple. But if you've got a special gift, don't hold back. Or he that exhorteth on exhorting, if to give comfort and strengthen and encouragement, do it. He that has a special gift of giving and God uses you to lead out in that, then do it. If you, but do it with simplicity and humility. He that ruleth, if you have administrative ability that comes from God, not your own natural ability, then get in and with diligence make a difference. By the way, if you look at things and wish, boy, I wish they could do that differently, you're probably called to do it. Whenever someone comes and says, Pastor, I got an idea, and they'll tell me what the way something should happen, I'll just smile usually and say, well, good, I just found the person. This is wonderful. If I sense it's done in spirituality and not carnality, that's a different story. But many times, it's the very thing you see. Why don't we do more of this? It's you. We need to have more mercy around here. Uh-oh, we just found out your gift. You see it, right? That's the way it works. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, the mercy people in this church. I've had the touch of Jesus in my life over and over from you. I thank God for you. People don't know who you are. I know, sort of. God knows completely. You could go to 1 Corinthians and you'd find a whole bunch more gifts. Don't get all bent out of shape as to what gift. You just start serving God, you'll start being gifted. There you have administration, helping others, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power. Some of this, of course, was apostolic, but distinguishing, having discernment, and so forth. The issue is God wants to use you supernaturally. And so as we finish here today, I just think Jesus deserves to have a healthy body. What do you think? I think Jesus deserves to have a body that's laser focused and strengthened by his might to cut through this ungodly world and show that there is an answer in Jesus. And friend, I want you to seriously take this message here this morning. Are you surrendered? And are you supernaturally allowing your gift to function? Who has benefited this week from you? And you need to allow others to show their gifting to you. My friends, if you want to find out what life's about, take God's lead. Follow his plan. It's the body of Christ. Let's bow for prayer. As we bow before the Lord here, you're here today, you're saved, you're indwelt by the Spirit of God, you know that. But you say, Pastor, I know what you're saying is true, I understand that to some extent, but I honestly have found myself not believing that God could use me or just not being willing to surrender so that he could. Or I haven't been involved enough so that I was developed and my gift was able to function. But today, I want to say that this coming week, I don't want anyone to miss my gifting. And I don't want to miss God's working in my life through others. I need a change of paradigm. I need a change of commitment. I need to be a living sacrifice. I've got to wake up to life going by so fast and what it's really all about. I've got to wake up to who my Savior is and how much he's done for me. And you'd say, Pastor, God got a hold of my heart today, and I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to empower my gifting, whatever it takes. And I've got to be more part of the unity of the body of Christ. I know it. God clearly dealt with me, and I'm not going to ignore his voice here this morning. And I would ask you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up if that's how God dealt with you this morning? God bless you. That's wonderful. Amen. Anyone else? God's working in my heart, Pastor. I realize there's so much more. Yes. I need the Lord to work. Yes. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Here this morning you'd say, Pastor, I'm not even certain. I'm on my way to heaven. God's been working in my heart this morning, but I've been just thinking about what would happen if I were to die. I got good news for you. Jesus Christ died so that you can live. He rose again from the grave, and he can give you his eternal life because he took your place on the cross if you'll simply receive him. That's where grace starts. By faith, you trust in him and not yourself. And you'd say, Pastor, I want to truly get this matter settled, knowing I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me this morning? Would you just slip your hand up and I won't point you out, but I will pray for you along with these others. Yes, God bless you. Wonderful. Yeah, you put your hand down. Anyone else? God's working in my heart. Please pray for me. I'd like to get that matter settled today. I am burdened. Yes, God bless you. Amen. So important. The wonderful gift of salvation. Now, Lord, would you meet every specific need for these that understand the need for you to work mightily in their hearts regarding the body of Christ and really serving you as they ought, not being a dying ember, not affecting others and not being affected. Lord, I just pray that you'll meet the need. Help them to understand. Lord, give them discernment. Lord, would you work in their hearts? Lord, we desperately need to see you work in this dark day. And I just pray that truth will make a difference in their lives now. For these that raise their hand about salvation, would you bless even this morning? Would this be settled? What a joy it is to know you as Savior. I just pray you'll meet the needs there. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.